ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 10th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट नंबर 67। मातरम पितरम भ्रातृन् सर्वांश्च सुहृदस्तथा घ्नान्ति हि असि तृप्तौ लुब्धा राजाना प्रयशो भुवि। माता ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। किंग्स ग्रीडी फॉर सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन ऑन दिस अर्थ ऑलमोस्ट ऑलवेज किल देयर एनिमीज इनडिस्क्रिमिनेटली टू सेटिस्फाई देयर ओन विम्स। दे मे किल एनीवन, इवन देयर मदर्स, फादर्स, ब्रदर्स और फ्रेंड्स। परपोर्ट। वी हैव सीन इन द हिस्ट्री ऑफ इंडिया दैट औरंगजेब killed his brother and nephews and imprisoned his father to fulfill political ambitions. There have been many similar instances, and Kamsa was the same type of king. Kamsa did not hesitate to kill his nephews and imprison his sister and his father. For demons to do such things is not astonishing. Nonetheless, although Kamsa was a demon, he was aware that Lord Vishnu cannot be killed, and thus he attained salvation. Even partial understanding of the activities of Lord Vishnu makes one eligible for salvation. Kamsa knew a little about Krishna, that he could not be killed, and therefore he attained salvation, although he thought of Vishnu, Krishna, as an enemy. What then is to be said of one who knows Krishna perfectly from the descriptions of the Shastras like Bhagavad Gita? It is therefore the duty of everyone to read Bhagavad Gita and understand Krishna perfectly. This will make one's life successful. So translation once again. Kings greedy for sense gratification on this earth almost always kill their enemies indiscriminately. To satisfy their own whims, they may kill anyone, even their mothers, fathers, brothers or friends. So before beginning to speak on this 10th canto, I would like to seek blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. So in this purport, Prabhupada speaks about many points, but there is one very important line. Everything is important what Prabhupada writes, but one which I thought to discuss is that Prabhupada writes that even though Kamsa was a demon who did not hesitate to kill his sister and put them in, means about to kill sister and put them into prison and put his father also into prison to fulfill his ambitions. So Prabhupada writes that even though Kamsa was a demon, he was aware that Lord Vishnu cannot be killed, and thus he attained salvation. So in one sense, he was constantly aware of Krishna. He was constantly in a fearful condition. He was always thinking about Krishna, which is remembering Krishna in a negative way, which is not at all recommended for devotees. But still, Prabhupada writes that even a partial understanding of the activities of Lord Vishnu makes one eligible for salvation. So I thought of highlighting or speaking on this one statement of Srila Prabhupada. So this verse is in line with what Krishna speaks in the 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tatvata taktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti swarjuna. That even if just by having a mere knowledge of my birth, which is and my activities which are transcendental, one can become free from the cycle of birth and death and go back home, back to Godhead. So here, Kamsa was also aware of the activities of Krishna, of Lord Vishnu. He was knowing the supremacy of Lord Vishnu. And because he was knowing the supremacy of Lord Vishnu, who is not easy to be destroyed or never to be destroyed or never can be killed by any person in this whole creation, he's trying, he's making so many endeavors to insignificant or useless endeavors just to achieve his task or to fulfill his task and achieve his goal. So activities, birth, all of us have heard so much in the last 2 days about birth. So I thought, let me discuss about some activities. So entire Srimad Bhagavatam in 10th canto is activities of Krishna. The previous cantos, we hear about the activities of the Supreme Lord, same Lord, but not directly of Krishna. The expansions of Vishnu and all other things, these various incarnations. But this 10th canto, which is the beautiful lotus face of the Lord, describes completely nothing but the activities of the Lord. And as one goes on reading this 10th canto, sometimes it becomes very difficult to understand 10th canto. So even though we may have the Shastras to understand the activities of the Lord, but the Shastras are sometimes so complicated, or Shastras are simple because we are complicated with our mundane academic knowledge or the conditionings of this life and previous lives. These very simple Shastras also become very difficult for us to understand. So therefore, in order to understand the activities which one can understand through the Shastras, the easy way is to learn it from bona fide spiritual master. And that is what Krishna recommends again in Bhagavad Gita. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya padyakshantite jnanam jnaninas tattva darshana. So yes, knowledge about the Lord, knowledge about the activities of the Lord can be understood from the spiritual master or the authorized representative of the Supreme Lord. But that knowledge cannot be transferred unless and until there is humble, submissive inquiry followed with service to that personality. And this is very beautifully explained in the 10th canto itself. I thought that whole pastime is there in this 10th canto, in this part, but it is not there, somewhere there. So in the 10th canto, when Krishna is about 1 year old, so that time Vasudev from Mathura sends Gargamuni to Gokul. Because Vasudev knows that both the children who are there with Nanda Maharaj are his own children, which was not known to Nanda Maharaj. He was only knowing that, yes, Balramji is there, he is son of Vasudev and Rohini, but this, my beloved, my little Krishna, is my very own son. So therefore, Gargamuni is being sent by Vasudev on a special mission, on a special task. And what is that? To name, for the naming ceremony of Krishna and Balram, or these two little boys. So when Gargamuni goes to Gokul, Nanda Maharaj receives him. Many verses were there which I thought, but it is not there. I'll just, whatever comes to my mind, whatever I remember. So Gargamuni goes and approaches Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda Maharaj is so ecstatic to receive Gargamuni, because Gargamuni is not an ordinary soul. He is a very learned person, and more than that, more than his material academic knowledge, he is a very great devotee of the Lord. So having such great a devotee in his house, in his village, the happiness of Nanda Maharaj knew no bounds. He happily received and is glorifying Nanda Maharaj in many, there are 3-4 verses in which he is glorifying Gargamuni. Nanda Maharaj is glorifying Gargamuni. And he is saying that very important line which comes, that great personalities like you, they come to poor-hearted grihasthas like us, not to take something from us, but just to impart knowledge so that we can be well established in our spiritual path, so that we don't get misguided. He glorifies Gargamuni. And the point that comes is, this is the way from Nanda Maharaj we can learn how to approach, or how to approach a person, a spiritual person or a saint when he comes to our house. Welcome him nicely, glorify him for whatever he is, and most important than that, this is etiquettes of welcoming and glorifying, but the most important thing in a reception of a great saint or a saintly person is to make a humble, submissive inquiry about one's own spiritual progress or spiritual advancement. And that is what Nanda Maharaj does. There are many things which he speaks. And then, in one verse, he says, you have come here. We know that you are a great personality, a person who knows astrology, the astrological calculations perfectly, who has the ability, the power to tell about any person, about his past, what he was in the past, and what activities, what pious activities or what sinful activities which he has committed in the previous life, and what in future, based on what pious or impious activities what he has done, what are the sinful or pious credits he's going to get in his present life or future life. That you are able to tell very perfectly. So therefore, I have a desire that please, first he says, before putting his call request, he says, please, just guide me, tell me, how can I serve you? How can I serve you? So this is a very essential point that comes. That whenever it is seen, especially in today's day and time, normally when some saintly person comes, people just approach that saintly person, not for some service attitude, but to get service from that person. Like that person who approached Srila Prabhupada in that train, when Prabhupada was traveling in India in train, he approached, Swamiji, Ashirvad and Ashirvad. Was begging again, please give me some blessings, please give me some blessings. Prabhupada said, if you want my blessings, so disciples were sitting there, if I give you blessings, you'll become like this. All shaven-headed brahmachari and sannyasis were there. That person ran away. Because everyone, when they approach a saintly person, they just come with one thing, just get some material benedictions. So I have this experience nowadays when I'm visiting my village and all very places, that whenever many people, they just come to my home, and when I'm walking on the road, they just call me to their house, welcome me, make me sit. And for the first question, they ask me about their vastu, that we are trying to construct this house. Can you tell something about us? This problem is going on. Can you give some remedy for that? 99% of the time, to the extent that one day I was on the road to go to some other village. So one lady came and she says, will you please come to my house? And I said, I am going out. What is the problem? You tell me. So she's telling that, do you see something? So I understood. Now it has become so common seeing the saffron dress. Do you see something? So I said, no, I don't see anything like this. So then what do? Well, you do just bhakti of Krishna. So well, hey, then you have acquired this land. You are going to construct this temple. Who's going to come to the temple? So I said, why? Because if you don't see all these things, nobody's going to come. So I said, my temple is not for seeing your astrology and seeing your vastu and all. It is just to preach devotion service. Oh, this is the purpose out. And she left. 99% of the time, practically 100%. They just come. Will you see? They approach my mother because they fear to approach me. My mother and many of my neighbors, they come and they say, in South India and AP, because of these Ayyappa people, they have this tendency of calling Swami. So they say, Swami, does he see anything? Because we are fearful to approach you, please go and request on our behalf. So they come, Swami, do you see something? Members say, hey, nothing, no business here, get out. So that is the tendency. As soon as they see some so-called person like this, especially me, so they feel, oh, something, material prediction, something for our material progress, nothing for spiritual progress. But Nanda Maharaj, when he approached Garga Muni, that was not his desire. The only request he presents is, please tell me, how can I serve you? And yesterday he celebrated Prabhupada's appearance day. So Prabhupada in the Lilamrita, if you read one whole chapter in the first volume, is how shall I serve you? So Prabhupada, he met his spiritual master in 1922. And after that, he met Bhaktisiddhanta, but it was not very often. Very few times he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And finally, in 1937, 38, last year, or 38, the last year of Prabhupada's earthly pastimes, so Bhaktisiddhanta's earthly pastimes, Prabhupada was very much fearing the separation from his spiritual master. And then finally, he writes in December one letter to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, presenting his status of his heart, that he writes, just paraphrasing, that, my dear spiritual master, There are so many devotees, brahmacharis, sannyasis, those who are there constantly with you, serving your mission. And I'm a simple grihastha. I'm not in much touch with you, and I'm not able to do any service for you. So please tell me, please give me some instructions, how shall I serve you? He wrote that letter in December, and there's two weeks later, he gets a reply. Just a few days before Bhaktisiddhanta winds up his earthly pastime, he gets the reply from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that the same reply, that same instruction which he has given in 1922. Bhaktisiddhanta repeats that you are a very fluent English speaker. So it is my request that if you should go and broadcast this message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English speaking countries. And when you do, if you do this, this will do good to you and also good to others. And Prabhupada, when he read that reply, he felt as a confirmation of his first instruction, what Bhaktisiddhanta gave to him in 1922 during his first meeting. So this is what is essential for every devotee, that the only thing, the only thought of every person is that how can I dedicate my life to execute the mission of the spiritual master and to put into reality the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Prithvi Chayate Jatanagaradigram Sarvatra Prachar Hoibe Morana, just to assist our parampara in executing the mission for which they appeared into this earthly, on this earth. So, and this very principle of how can I serve you is very beautifully again depicted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Madhya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in the pastime of Srila Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, all of us know that what was his life? He was a simple sannyasi. Simple sannyasi, a sannyasi who has nothing to do, just taken some vows and just wandering around. A vow, and the most important of so many vows he had taken was ayachit vritti, not to beg anything from anyone. Just survive on the food or whatever comes by its own accord. Not to beg from anyone. If anyone gives me something, I will eat. So that strict vow which he had taken in his life, that if somebody gives me something, I will eat, others I will starve and utilize my time just on meditating and chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And just moving around. And in his journey, he reached Sri Vrindavan and came to Govardhan. And what can be learned is, when a person takes some strict vows, not for some material progress, but to make a spiritual advancement and to please Krishna and to dedicate his life to serve Krishna, then the Lord's mercy flows automatically. So he never desired actually that somebody should come and give me something. But the Lord himself, seeing the status of his pure devotee, appeared there in the form of small little Gopal with a pot of milk. And then, as you know, that pastime goes. Three times Gopal comes in the dreams of Madhavendra Puri to give instruction. First is to excavate him outside, to establish him, establish his deity worship. And such elaborate deity worship, pages of verses after verses, just elaborate deity worship is given. Installation, right from installation, and then every day feasts are going on, Abhishekam is going on. So Madhavendra Puri had practically dedicated his life for Gopal. And when everything was going on very smoothly, the second instruction comes. What is that? Even after doing so much Abhishekam, my body has not been cooled. Please go to Orissa. Get that special chandan from Malay Parvat. Malay chandan for me and camphor. And apply it over my body. And then my body will be, so it will become somewhat cool. For us, today if somebody tells to go to Vrindavan or Vrindavan to Orissa, it's so easy. But that time, Madhavendra Puri, it is described, he did not even have a single paisa to purchase that chandan. Chandan is not, it is not that now it is, we have to purchase. Even that time also it was not very easy to acquire chandan. Not having a single paisa, not having any ways and means of transport, without any second thought, it is very difficult to give one's worshipful Lord, to give him away, to give up his service and to go away somewhere for some other task. But Madhavendra Puri, not considering the externals, not following, let me just be attached to the deity, let me just serve him, let me dress him, let me offer bhoga to him, let me do aarti to him. Very difficult to give up. But then, understanding that the order of the Lord is more important, he just left, handed over the service to other his disciples and just left to get the chandan, not knowing whether he will reach there and whether he will be able to return back. But just because the order was there, he left all the way. And the second, because as one goes on doing service, first, the what you call, gifts, tokens of appreciation comes. The first token was milk, pot of milk. And the second token was pot of sweet rice, more condensed form of milk. Because as the service increases, the gifts, the tokens also become more condensed, more deep and more solid. And then he goes there, gets the sweet rice, and goes to Remuna, from Remuna goes to Orissa and gets the chandan back. And it was not easy, it was not just some one stick of chandan, just grinding for 1 month. It was 120 pounds of chandan, 20 tolas of camphor, and no assistant. Just carrying all the way. And it was not easy because he had to cross so many states in between, and that was that time being the Mughals rule everywhere. Everywhere, like when we travel from here, there are so many highways, so many tolls. Like that, there were so many tolls that time. He had to pay money, he had to convince them, and it was like smuggling of chandan. But still, even though he did not have single paisa, worse comes. Single paisa, nothing were, because you were having a strong faith and having that service attitude and having the desire that let me just continue to serve in whatever capacity I can. The Lord was providing with everything, whatever he had. And then finally, the Lord, when he saw, yes, my devotee is doing so much. Again, when he comes to Remuna, he halts there, and Gopal says, Gopinath, by that time he becomes Kirchor Gopinath. He says, my dear, third instruction comes. My dear Madhavendra Puri, please apply this chandan to Gopinath. And if Gopal again comes, actually not Kirchor Gopinath, it's Gopalji who comes, and he says, apply to Gopinath. When you apply chandan to him, I will get that coolness. And again, it is not easy also, even though, Krishna is same everywhere. But every devotee has one's own Aradhya Ishtadev. Like someone who is worshipping Gopinath throughout, he may go at any place in so many ISKCON temples, he may see that deity, but still, that deity may be in the mind, but in the heart, it is always Gopinath. And especially when you are doing so much, that chandan, this is for Gopal. But he gave that chandan to Gopinath. Not easy to give. Externally, we say, yes. Philosophically, you may say, yes, Krishna is one in his different manifestation. But always there is one Aradhya, one Ishtadev. We see, this is a big question for me, I don't know. Any of senior devotees can ask. All our Goswamis, especially, if you see, all our Goswamis have their own Ishtadev. Even though all of them were meeting every day, discussing, writing, doing everything, like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he was there, all of them were meeting. By that time, Madan Mohan was there, Govindji was there, but still he desired, let me have one deity. And Radharaman manifested. So that service, that desire to serve and have one Ishtadev, it is always there. So that variety, variegatedness, that the bliss of spiritual world is variegatedness. One may ask, why they have separate deities? Either it is groupism, individuality, separatism, something like that? No. It is individual. Variety is there in the spiritual world. Everybody wants to serve the Lord in his own way and in his own rasa. So Madhavendra Puri, he must have felt, this is for my Gopal. He has given me instruction. But then again, even when one likes, what does not like? Because Krishna said, apply to Gopinath. He says, okay, take this. Gopinath, and for 1 month he stayed there, 1 year, till that chandan got over, every day seeing that chandan being applied to Gopinath. So all this service, that, service can be done. One may say very theoretically that, yes, let me serve you. But how that service can be put into reality, into practicality, is only, or the basis of that service, is only one thing. What is that? Pure love. And not just pure love, pure condensed love. And therefore, Kaviraj Goswami, very beautifully, that famous verse, he writes, Praghad Premer is Swabhava Achar. What is the nature of that Praghad? God is condensed and Praghad is solidly condensed. The nature of that solid love for Krishna, what is that? Nija Dukha Vigna Adhi Na Kare Vichar. When a person has that intense, condensed love for Krishna, the expression of that love is, he will never consider any bigness, any obstructions, any impediments, any miseries, dukkha, on the path of his execution of his devotional service. And in that purport, Prabhupada writes, that it may appear apparently that a person who has dedicated his life to serve Krishna, he is undergoing so much miseries. But Prabhupada writes, for a materialist, apparently it is appearing for him that, Are Bapre, kya tapasya kar raha hai, itna mar kyun raha hai, why is dying so much? He would have lived nicely, happily, worked outside, enjoyed life nicely, but why is undergoing so much miseries? Why is making his life so miserable? But Prabhupada writes, that is the transcendental bliss for a devotee. That weakness and that dukkha on the path of executing the desire of the Lord is the bliss for that devotee. And Prabhupada writes in that purport, there are four things that may come. Four things that every devotee has to face. One who wants to love Krishna. What is that? First is scarcity. There will always be scarcity of resources. You want to love Krishna, but the facilities may not be there. There will be scarcities. There may be very material discomforts. Too much taxing. You may, to the extent that you may feel like giving up, bahut ho gaya. Too much. I am trying to serve Krishna, but what is this? Conditions are becoming so unfavorable. People are not at all cooperating. People are not doing anything. How long can I go on? This is going to come. So scarcity will be there. Material discomforts will be there. There will be unhappiness. You will become so miserable, you may become unhappy also. And there will be a lot of impediments. There are the four points which Prabhupada writes in the purport. And this, one cannot think, one cannot be in that illusion of thinking that when the process of serving Krishna, everything will be smooth, it will be a smooth ride. No. Prabhupada, for all time to come, for the next 10,000 years, as long as Chaitanya Charitamrita is there, and as long as many generations of devotees, those who may appear to propagate this mission, Prabhupada has given the principles that this is what you are going to face if you want to serve Krishna. And this is what is going to come, so be ready for it. Be ready for that. But, again in that verse, Kaviraj Goswami writes, that why all these things come? Why Krishna makes a devotee face all these things? He says, Pariksha korile Gopal, kaile agyadan. Why did Gopal made Madhavendra Puri to undergo so many discomforts and impediments and unhappiness and scarcity? It is just out of test. Pariksha korite Gopal, kaila agyadan. He gave the instruction. And as when a devotee is determined, that desire is fixed on his desire, that whatever may come, let me just be there to serve you. What happens? He passes in that exam given by Krishna. Pariksha koriya sheshe hoila dayavan. And when that exam is over, when Krishna sees that, yes, he is there firmly fixed on me, in my service, what then? Then Krishna becomes merciful. And how was that mercy manifested to Madhavendra Puri? He says, it's very difficult for him to take that chandan. Please, be here only. Apply that chandan to Gopinath. No more troubles, no more discomforts, no more impediments, no more scarcity. Just be there. So it's very practical. It is not just something theory which is there in our shastras. When a devotee, initially we find there are a lot of obstructions, a lot of problems are there. But if one can just continue, things just flow. Things just manifest, things just pop up. Whatever is required to fulfill one's sincere desire to serve Krishna, that thing automatically manifests. Krishna is going to inspire, Krishna will inspire someone to fulfill or to remove the obstructions and to fill that gaps which are coming in the path of one's devotional service. That is seen for all times to come. And that is also seen in the life of Prabhupada. Prabhupada had so many obstructions. Whole Lilamrita is based on that. Before he's going to US, his journey, what is Prabhupada's life? all those 25, 30 years of his hard struggle are just scarcity, obstruction, impediments, unhappiness. But because Prabhupada persisted on his desire that my dear Lord or my dear Gurudev, just continue, just let me continue to serve you. What happened? One by one person came up, and this whole worldwide mission of ISKCON is established today throughout the world, and for next 10,000 years it is going to be there, just because of one desire and one request of Srila Prabhupada, that let me just serve you. Radha Rasberry temple, what is that? Is a simple request to Radha Rasberry, of Prabhupada to Radha Rasberry, just be here, I'll build a nice temple for you and let me serve you. And that construction of Krishna Balaram temple, that in one of the purports, Prabhupada never himself writes about himself, but at that one purport, he says, there was an empty barren land in one corner of Vrindavan, but just one pure devotee desired, let there be temple here. Let there be constant chanting of the holy name go on. Let there be service to you go on. And Prabhupada writes, today there is a Krishna Balaram temple. And today, after 40 years, we know that Krishna Balaram temple, which was in one corner of Vrindavan, which was not known to anyone, now that has become the center of Vrindavan. Hundreds and thousands and lakhs of people just flocking in. Why? Just based on one desire, one request. Let me just serve you. Like even the pastime of Gargamuni, when Gargamuni heard the request of Nanda Maharaj that please name these two children, Gargamuni did not agree. He said, I cannot name this because I am a priest of Yadu dynasty, and if I name your children, what will happen? Kamsa will come to know, and then he will, that point, he says, Kamsa will come to know that these children are not your children, they are Vasudev's children. Because as a priest of Yadu dynasty, I am supposed to do or carry out the functions or rituals only for the Yadu dynasty people. So indirectly, Gargamuni was telling Nanda Maharaj, that these children, both of them, they are not yours. And even the one which you are thinking as yours, he is not yours. He is also Vasudev's. And if Kamsa comes to know, there will be a lot of bad consequences for that. He may come, he may do some atrocities and so many things. In one way, Gargamuni was cautioning. He was saying no for this ceremony, naming ceremony. So that was one of the impediments. He was saying no. But Nanda Maharaj, he insisted no. Even if Kamsa comes to know, let whatever Kamsa may do, but let this naming ceremony may go on. And if you feel that if it has become a big festival, no problem, we'll reduce. I will not invite any of my family members, nobody will be there. Let this naming ceremony go on in the cowshed. So the process can never stop, or process should never be stopped. It may, according to time, place and circumstances, may be reduced, but the preaching activity should go on. And when that thing happens, when the devotee desires that let me just continue to serve you and serve Krishna, what happens? Then, as we began, that knowledge, that theoretical knowledge about the Supreme Lord is revealed by the saintly person. And then Gargamuni reveals that who these two children are. You may consider them as your ordinary children, but they are not ordinary. He says, this elder son, Balaram, he is a source of all pleasure. Therefore, his name should be Ram. Because he possesses all power, therefore his name is Balaram. And because he is going to unite these two families of Vasudev and yours, he is going to develop attraction of bond and bond between both these families. Therefore, his name is Sankarshan. And then he comes to describe who Krishna is. He says, this small child of yours, he is not an ordinary child. He is as good as Narayan. So all indirect hint is giving. We know, the Lord himself revealed to Vasudeva and Devaki that you desired in your previous births, let me have a child like you. But the Lord said, there is no one like me except my own self. And no one like me. No one equal to, no one greater, nothing. So let you, he said, this child, He is as good as Narayan. He is the source of all creation. He is the source of maintenance. He appears in every millennium in different incarnations, in different colors, sometimes as red, sometimes as white, sometimes as yellow. And now he has appeared as a black child, in a black complexion. So he gives the knowledge about Krishna. So service and desire to serve, overcoming all impediments, persistence on service will reveal about the knowledge of the Lord. And then finally he says, because these two children are there with you, please serve them nicely. So same thing happens with us. When we come into devotional life, or any person comes to devotional life, initially we read Bhagavad Gita, yes, Janma, Karma, but then the association of devotees, the spiritual master reveals who Krishna is and engages, because he is busy, he engages us, please serve them nicely. So Nand Maharaj and Yashoda, they are in Vatsala Bhav. And I was just thinking in the morning, the deity worship is in one sense Vatsala Ras only. What do we do early morning? What Mother Yashoda did? Waking up Krishna, bathing him, dressing him, offering food to him, everything, practically 99% of the activities, what pujaris do for the Lord in the altar, it is simply in the mood of Vatsala Bhav, like Mother Yashoda and Nand Maharaj. So Gargamuni says, just serve them nicely. And what happens? When devotee continues to serve the Lord on the order of the spiritual master, then the Lord reveals himself. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda continue to serve. And what happens? One day, as from 1 year, Krishna Balaram, they grew up. The activities which were theoretical before, they start manifesting before our eyes. And Krishna and Balaram, those whole chapter of Krishna showing his universal form, reveals how Krishna, that beautiful pastimes which are not enacted in the spiritual world, they are enacted on this land of Vrindavan, on this planet Earth. And Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, all the Braj Gopas, the gopis especially, they were able to see those small, the pastimes, the beautiful nectarian pastimes of that little Krishna, of breaking the butter, the pots of butter, stealing butter, giving it to monkeys, and that very beautiful pastime of Ghasitaram. You know, it's so I can just imagine that holding the tails of the calves, and the calves are running in fear, and Krishna is fearful, and both of them are in fear of each other, and they are running, and they are just pulling, and he's not leaving the tail, becoming Ghasitaram. Such beautiful nectarian scene, and all the gopis, they were relishing like anything. Those pastimes are revealed by Krishna only after service. And that is the sweet pastimes. And then finally one day, the boys come. The gopis are already complaining. But when the boys come and complain, that Mother Yashoda, Krishna is eating dirt. Krishna has eaten mud. So when boys come and says, tell Mother Yashoda, she takes it very seriously. And then Mother Yashoda says, my dear little Krishna, have you eaten dirt? Why will I eat dirt? These boys, they are liars. They are always lying. Don't have faith in them. She says, no. Prabhupada goes on many things, beautiful things Prabhupada writes in that purport. Little Krishna, open your mouth. Ha, ha, ha. Krishna opens his mouth. And through that mouth becomes the whole project, that screen. That small little mouth becomes, 70 mm or whatever you call it, a big screen for Yashoda Mai to witness the opulence of the Lord. The whole creation, everything, whatever one wants, whatever one has heard theoretically, which appear very difficult to digest and understand or to comprehend, that become manifest only by the mercy of the Lord. That Mother Yashoda was able to see. But the love, the Vatsala Rav is, nobody appreciates that. The love for Krishna completely supersedes. And even Mother Yashoda, and so many things are there after that. So the point is that even partial understanding, but partial understanding of the Lord begins with service to the Lord. And therefore, that is the only hope, that if you can just continue to serve the Lord, then all knowledge about the Lord will be revealed. Not just Janma, not just activities also. The Lord himself will reveal. We don't have to go on to do so many, accept so many mantras and so many other gurus to enter into the leela of the Lord. As Bhakti Siddhanta says, don't try to see Krishna. Serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. And when Krishna sees us, he does not just come like that. He will reveal all the pastimes into our heart and into our mind. And then one's life becomes successful. Then one's life becomes successful, as Prabhupada writes here. What is then to be said of one who knows Krishna perfectly from the descriptions of Shastras like Bhagavad Gita? It is therefore the duty of everyone to read Bhagavad Gita and understand Krishna perfectly, and not just, means this will make one's life successful. So not just read Bhagavad Gita, just ratify some verses and become masters in quoting verses, but if that practical service attitude is there, just let me serve you, my dear Lord, then Krishna will automatically reveal in the heart and perform pastimes in the heart. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Gaur Premanand.